Hi, everyone, and welcome to the WDW Review. It feels like it's been so long since I've been here. I'm so glad to be back. We're joined today with my, I always have to say it, my lovely co-host, Chris Malik. How are you doing today, Chris?
I'm doing really well. It's great to see your smiling face. I'm glad that incarceration only lasted so long.
I know. I got off good behavior. All was good.
Welcome back.
It was a good break, though. You know, I got to read some books, and it was all good. So
a lot of me time.
I kept to myself. You know, yes. They always like kept my eyes down and everything. So everything was fine.
Nice.
No, I was just off on vacation and internet issues, lots of problems going on in the Nyman household, but now I'm back. So I'm really glad to be back. We have a really fun show today. We are joined by a guest that we'll introduce in just a couple of minutes. But before we do that, I wanted to talk about bucket list. And one of the big bucket list items everybody talks about are bucket list vacations. But let's get a little bit more specific with that and ask about what is your bucket list item in terms of the United States of America? Do you have any trips that you've always wanted to take in our wonderful country?
Okay. So it's not necessarily Disney, right? It could be anything?
It could be anything.
You know, I've always wanted to take that paddle wheel like cruise down the Mississippi.
That sounds so fun.
And you could take it all the way from like St. Paul and Minneapolis all the way down to New Orleans. And it just seems to be like a really cool version of seeing like America.
Yes.
Is like you go from really, really cold to just the deep South all in one. And I like to thank the Brady Bunch because I've always wanted to take like a mule ride down to the Grand Canyon, down to the Grand Canyon bottom. You remember, you remember the Brady when they did that trip?
I kind of want to do all the Brady Bunch things that they did. I know. Yes. They did. They had some good trips.
Yes.
That could be like a fun thing. Okay. So I'm going to cheat a little bit, but not really. I would love to do an Alaskan cruise just because I don't know if we would ever get to Alaska otherwise with Scott not liking to fly. So it would have to be a cruise, and I just would have always wanted to do something like that. I don't like the cold, which makes this seem completely ridiculous, but it would be fun. And it doesn't necessarily have to be a Disney cruise. Like, I could be open to other things, but I think that would be mine, yeah.
Go back and listen to the Tracy McCoy Alaskan cruise report. She took the Royal Caribbean, and by the sound of it, like, phenomenal. So
it just seems like it would just be so amazing to do something like that, just so off my radar, like something I would never do. So that's probably why it would be a good bucket list item.
And you guys have proven to drive that far before, so no problem.
Exactly.
Right? Okay. So what does this have to do with our guest?
So our guest is here today. I'll introduce her in just a minute, but she took a bucket list trip. And I think that this trip would be something that would be in a lot of Disney fans' lists, and you'll kind of find out why as she talks. Doesn't seem like it would be because she went to someplace not really Disney, but it all connects. You'll see in just a minute. But I want to welcome my good friend Jennifer Blumetti. We're so happy to have you here, Jen. We have she's never been on our show before, so it's great to have her rookie episode with us here today. How are you today, Jen?
I'm doing great. Thank you guys for inviting me and letting me speak in a public forum. Appreciate that.
We debated for a long time. I'm just going to say that.
Yeah, it was a little bit like, do we ask her? I don't know.
Because I'm scary and intimidating.
She is really, I've met Jen several times in person. She is like really intimidating in person. She like comes up to, you know, my shoulders. But Jen, she's giant. She's my running buddy. So we have Jen joining us today because she went on an amazing trip with her family, and she's going to tell us all about it. But it connects because it's an Adventures by Disney trip. And if anybody has ever listened to any other podcasts or been on an Adventures by Disney trip, for most Disney fans, this is a bucket list item, is to do one of these trips at some point. So let's just dive right in and kind of get some of the details of the trip. So if you want to start out, Jen, if you want to maybe start out by saying, what where did you go? And maybe give the dates, who went with you, and what the location was.
Sure. We went to Montana and Wyoming. And actually, when we booked it, it was originally just Montana, and they changed the itinerary a little bit, which worked out fabulously. We went in July, early July, which if you know was going on in Montana and Yellowstone in June and July, was a little scary. We weren't sure we were going to be able to do the trip because of the floods, the floods in Yellowstone. But it actually worked out very well. So we went, it was me, my husband, and my two kids who are 11-year-old twins, Hannah and Hunter. And it was fantastic. It was just an amazing trip.
So what made you choose to go with Adventures by Disney instead of just planning this out yourself and, you know, using your own itinerary?
Part laziness.
I like it.
Nice. We visited national parks for most of the trip. And to me, that's a very intimidating thing to plan, especially in an area of the country that I am not familiar with at all. I am a Floridian. I know beaches. I don't know very much else. So planning this was a little intimidating, and it takes a lot of work to do it. You have to do it way in advance. So I knew that I wanted to do a guided tour for this particular trip. And I figured Disney would do a wonderful job entertaining my kids if need be. If we got tired of them, they could entertain them. I really liked the itinerary and what they offered. So that's why we picked them.
Did you plan this on your own? I mean, because, okay, you got Adventures by Disney, but like, how do you book something like this? Because this seems to be beyond the scope of like I'd be completely intimidated to hit that page.
Me too.
You know, so how'd you plan it?
So they have a number of tours, and I don't know if you've ever looked at their website, but basically it's broken down by region. So I knew I wanted to go somewhere out west. So they have a North America region. They do a Grand Canyon tour. They have Rocky Mountains in Canada. They have this one. And then they have a Wyoming only trip. And so I was looking at those. And then, again, laziness. I called my friend, Nancy Turner, who is a travel agent at the Magic for Less. And she basically did all the legwork. So I told her which itinerary. I gave her some date options. And she handled everything else.
That's not laziness. That's like knowing your limitations. Yes. Like, I need an expert. Like, I don't want to screw this up, right? This is a lot of money. So that's right. Wise, you know, that's what I'd be doing.
And okay. It's just, you there flew, were, right? You know, there's, I'm sorry.
You flew down there. You flew up there, correct?
Oh yes, absolutely. And She, Nancy helped me take care of all the flight arrangements through Disney. Disney has their own flight people. So for example, when I told you that they changed the itinerary, we actually already had flights. We had flown in, we were flying into Bozeman and out of Bozeman, Montana. And then when they changed the itinerary, we were flying out of Jackson, Wyoming. And they just said, here are your new flights. And I didn't have to do anything.
Wow. That's the way to travel.
Yeah. That is really,
that's super nice. Okay. Why'd you pick this?
This particular trip, because I have never really gone to national parks, and it's one of those places that I've always wanted to go. So I told my kids and my husband, this is where we're going. And they said, okay. I'll tell you a little bit about the itinerary and a little bit about why the kids weren't thrilled at first, but they actually were on board by the end. It was, but it was definitely a trip I said, Mom wants to pick a trip this time. And so this is where we're going.
Nice. I'm trying to imagine the conversation when you're thinking of taking a great family vacation and it's Adventures by Disney and you approach your 11-year-old twins. Cause I have 17-year-old twins and I've got a 10-year-old and it's like, we're going to do national parks and a lot of walking. And I could imagine like their excitement level would be like, we're, you know,
right. Exactly.
Kind of give you that look of what you're doing. So like, what is the trip? Is it hiking? Is it, you know?
It's they're basically, they keep you busy pretty much the entire time. We started out with the meet and greet dinner and an after hours tour at the Museum of the Rockies, which has the most tyrannosaur skeletons in the world, which was really cool. That sold me. I'm a nerd. Yeah. I wanted to see dinosaurs. We ate at the museum. It was really cool. So we did that. And then there were activities basically every morning and every afternoon. And then usually a dinner either together or either on your own, but included. So that was included in the price.
With that itinerary, let's say that you're going to go kind of in detail with the itinerary a little bit later, but with the food and stuff, one of the things I've wondered is, do you have choices ever, or do they tell you what you are going to be eating? Like, let's say you didn't want to eat at whatever restaurant they had planned or whatever. Can you go off on your own? And would they cover that cost, or if you kind of go off the grid, is that on you?
If you go off the grid, it's on you a bit. But to kind of we were all together. There was a group of 30 of us in total on this trip. And all the meals were planned out like well in advance. They knew where we were eating lunch. They knew where we were eating dinner. The very first day we met our Disney guides at the hotel and we filled out forms, basically making choices for what we were going to eat for the week.
Uh-huh.
So we filled out, you know, Monday night we were eating at, you know, X restaurant. Here's the 6 food choices and you pick one. There was always a vegetarian option. There was always something burger or, you know, chicken tenders or something for the kids. But you had a choice for each meal.
At any point in any meal, did you feel like the food quality or like the presentation was anything less than like spectacular? Because I'm imagining if they're handpicked by Disney, it's probably really good, especially for this tour. This is an Adventures by Disney tour. So it's a premier experience from them. Was every option really good, or were there some that were better than others?
Overall, it was very good. I was very impressed. The first night was a buffet and I was a little nervous. We're eating a buffet. Mm-hmm. But they were, you know, slicing roast beef and they had grilled chicken and salads and sides and, you know, beer, wine, drinks. I mean, it was excellent. There were a couple of times because they had to change our itinerary a bit because of the flooding. We did eat a box lunch on the bus, but it was food we were going to be sitting down and eating anyway. So the quality was very good. But other than that, I thought the food was fantastic. One of the hotels we stayed at was the Jackson Lake Lodge in the Grand Tetons National Park. And they basically gave us free rein in the restaurant. And you can Google it, but the prices range from $30 to $50 for an entree. Okay. And we could get an appetizer, entree, dessert, and it didn't matter the cost as long as we, you know, picked it off the menu. We paid for drinks, but other than that, that was covered. And they were very good. I mean, it's a little overpriced because you're in a national park.
Right.
But it was very good.
What about gratuity? Is gratuity included, or is that out of your pocket at each meal, or how does that work?
Everything. The only gratuity we paid were to our 2 dedicated Disney guides who were with us the entire trip. So we tipped them just as you would, for example, if you went on a cruise and you tipped your either your waiters or your person who took care of your room, you tipped them a specific amount per day per person. Mm-hmm. That's what they recommended. Other than that, every event we did, every tour we had, every excursion we went on, you know, the bellhops at the hotels, all of those tips were covered.
Interesting.
Okay. This is a really nice way to travel. It's you know, the flat fee and don't worry about a thing until you're almost done at that point.
Yes. So,
okay. Give us some of the stuff you did on this trip.
Sure. The part that I was looking forward to the most was the Yellowstone National Park, because it's just one of those places I've always wanted to go. I've always wanted to see Old Faithful. I've always wanted to see the Old Faithful Lodge, which, as you know, the Wilderness Lodge is designed after that. So that was the highlight for me. We did a tour through, we spent 2 days or one morning and one afternoon at Yellowstone. We did a hike, and then we spent some time at Old Faithful, and we also toured the lodge. That was the highlight for me. Now, my kids will tell you they thought that was boring.
Okay.
But they loved, we went horseback riding, whitewater rafting. Those were my kids' two favorite activities. I even wrote it down by day because I knew I was going to forget something. Even on the bus, we had a tour guide through Yellowstone telling us about, you know, the history of the place. We went fly fishing. We caught fish. It was
holy cow. Cool. Yeah, really cool.
And there were some hikes. There was a zip line, which we did not participate in. My kids didn't want to do it. And it turns out my daughter did not weigh enough, and we would not have been able to do it anyway. But we did a hike instead. So that was pretty exciting.
Would the zip line have been included as well too,
Jennifer? Oh yeah, all of that was included. Everything, okay. Everything I've said was part of the cost.
So it sounds like you had choices in activities as well then. And does that because I'm thinking here like of a family going, and you know, everybody has different ability levels. Like you're even saying with your daughter and her weight limit and things like that. But I'm thinking about maybe people not being able to go on these hikes and things. Do they have how do they do that? How do they work out those choices?
They did, for the most part, we all stuck together, but they did make accommodations. They made very personal accommodations for other members of our group. There was a family that was grandparents with their grandkids, and the grandfather wasn't as mobile as some of the others. And so he didn't go on the hike, but instead met us where we ended up, where the bus met us. And actually you can see the waterfall and everything at Yellowstone. He spent some time shopping in Jackson instead of doing the bike tour that we did. There were other options to visit. There was another hotel that had some shopping that were some options as well. They did have options for younger kids. I think they recommended, I think the age was 6 that they recommended for this trip. For the fishing, because you're in a moving river, they actually have a pond in the back of the shop where you meet the fishermen, and they had that stocked specifically for little kids to fish in. Horseback riding was adapted for younger kids, that kind of thing. So they definitely made accommodations. Now, I'm going to tell you, we talked to our guide, and he said this is the most rugged of all of the Disney trips. And I'm in okay shape, I like to think. And it was, you know, we're at altitude and we're biking. It was definitely, you needed to be able to do some physical activity for this.
Okay.
But it was fantastic.
These guides sound like they were very on top of things. I know that just from listening to other Adventure by Disney podcasts and things, the guides are always very highly spoken of, just because, I mean, there's only 2 of them, right? Mm-hmm. And these 2 guides had to kind of be able to wrangle an entire group with all different needs. Did you build a good relationship with them through the trip, since your group was, what you said, 30 people total?
30 people. It was mostly 5 groups, basically.
Okay.
So it wasn't like a huge bunch of pairs. It was bigger groups. But yes, they were, you know, herding cats basically the entire trip. One guy was every day was making sure everyone's food choices were correctly sent to the restaurant for the evening. The food we were picking up that we had on the bus, you know, we're getting it where we need to be. We had to pick up the guide for Yellowstone because they don't let you have to have one of their guides to talk you through the park. We picked her up at a spot on our bus, and you know, they had to organize all of that. It was impressive. They did little things like, for example, my daughter is not a morning person. And we were up at like 6:30 in the morning one day. she was not happy. And our guide, Corey, took her aside. And next thing I know, they're doing some little happy dance in the corner and he's cheering her up. And I am just like, thank you. Because, you know, as a parent,
so nice.
You're trying to relax. Yeah. And this guy's like, okay, I can see there's something going on here and I'm going to help. And he was fantastic.
That takes a special person to be able to do that. Like, you think it's basically like, you know, parents, they're the parents of all these 30 kids. They need to know what everybody's needs are at every moment, who has to use the bathroom, who wants to stop at the gift shop, who wants to do this, who is everybody here? Did everybody get on the bus? Roll call. Like, and also providing a service that's acceptable, beyond acceptable to everybody. You know, it's Disney service that they're providing. Like, those are some special people.
It was not acceptable. It was exceptional.
Exceptional. Absolutely.
Little things. They knew when we all needed bathroom breaks, and it was fantastic because I like to, you know, I need to stop and go to the bathroom.
Exactly. So
they timed out everything. The we went whitewater rafting, and I don't know if you've ever done that, but you get drenched. And then they take you on a bus back to the shop. So our guides had a box of towels waiting for us. So we each got a towel to use to dry off on the bus. Would never have thought to do that. I just thought we'd be wet until we got to where we would go change. But it was just little things like that that I'm like, this is why it's expensive. You know, you're paying a lot for this, but you're getting, the service was absolutely incredible.
You don't have to think of, you don't have to think of anything, you know, like that's where, especially as a mom, you know, or as a mom or dad, it's that it's hard to put a price tag on that, being able to enjoy. I mean, how often are you able to really enjoy a vacation when you have kids? This is allowing you to do that.
Yes, it was nice. I did not have to be thinking about the five next steps we had to do.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I had somebody else to do that for me. It was fantastic. So much so that we're already booking another one for next.
Are you? That's amazing. Did you make any friends? Like, did you build any good friendships with other people? Like, how about the kids? Did they make any friends with any of the other guests?
We didn't really, because it was, there were two big family groups. There was a group of adults who had actually, they had all met on one of these trips several years ago.
I've heard about these things
and
happening.
And the six of them were traveling. They do a trip every year now. So it was the same, you know, six people that they were hanging out. The other kids, it was a grandparents and grandkids, and that's their one big trip. So they kind of kept to themselves. But I chatted with people. My son actually played a game of spoons. Do you know this game?
Yeah.
They had when we stayed at one of the campground, they have a little lobby that's a big tent that had tables and things. And they all played spoons and my son beat everybody. So
nice.
He was the spoons champion for the rest of the trip. So they all said hi to him. So
that's cute.
You know, we may not have made friendships that will last, but we gelled very well together as a group.
That's great. Nice.
This sounds like the best of both worlds, because if you're listening, and we're all Disney Parks fans, right? But at some point, if you take the same vacation or the same trip, it does feel like a very commercialized version of what you should be seeing. But here, you're literally in the rugged, you know, Wyoming and Montana wilderness, and you still have that touch of Disney, and you still have, you know, that service level. So it's like, here, the non-commercialized version of America that you really should be seeing at some point in your life, but also serviced by Disney, you know? So really cool. I did have a question, though. Mm-hmm. Do you remember seeing, like, on Netflix, there was, like, the Disney Park special, the Animal Kingdom Lodge special. Do you remember watching those on TV? They're, like, 45-minute long, like, previews. Do you guys remember what I'm talking about at all?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I remember one of the women that was on there with her husband said something about utilizing the service of, like, the VIP tours. And she made the point. She was like, I'll never vacation again until I use a VIP tour. And she had that air about her that I was like, oh, I just want to choke that woman. But, like, when I'm on this tour, like, I'm wondering, is the attitude of everybody there, let's have fun, let's go do it? Or did you feel like there was, like, like Mrs. Howell from like Gilligan's Island over here on this side. Was that at all like pervasive at all at any of the people that you saw with the tour group, or was it you? Who was it?
That was me. Someone
has to be Lovey Howell.
Where's your monocle? You need the monocle.
Yes. No, I was the snobby one. No, it actually, I mean, everyone knew. You knew going in. We spent two nights in a tent. I mean, you knew going in that this was not, I mean, granted, it was glamping. There was running water. I slept in a bed, but it was still a tent. There was no electricity. And you're in the wilderness in Montana. But you kind of know going in that this is not your, awesome. You know.
I'm excited to hear that.
It's five-star service, but not necessary, and five-star accommodations to a point. But it was definitely, like I told you, he said, it's very rugged. You were moving and exerting yourself and getting the full, you know, Rocky Mountain experience, basically.
You know, that's really cool. Because like you said, you know what you're getting into with this. So I was just imagining like a train wreck on like day three of having this one family be like, oh, we can't do it. We can't do it anymore. They'll be like, oh, okay, we'll take care of you. So I'm glad that that happened. Yeah. You mentioned bike riding. So was it the bike with the giant fat tires as you guys were going off trail, or what was it like?
No, it was just a regular mountain bike.
Okay.
It was paved. Where we went was paved, and it was flat, but it was spectacular. I mean, we rode 9 miles, which I cannot get my children to ride 9 miles if I threaten them within an inch of their life.
For sure.
So they loved it. This was, you know, they're out in the mountains. It's pretty. You've got these guides talking to you about all these different places and what the names of the different hills are. And they thought it was the coolest thing in the world. It was fantastic.
But you said it was flat, though. So you were just it was just the one piece of property in amongst the mountains in the valley, so to speak. Okay, cool.
Yes,
I'm imagining that's exhausting.
No, they cater to this particular bike company. I was speaking, since I was at the back, I was speaking to one of the guides, and she says they have tours for every fitness level, basically. Okay. They had, you know, things where they would have 30-mile rides, you know, off roads and on trails and things, but this was paved, and basically it followed the roadway, so we were not very far from the road, which is right in front of the mountains, which is crazy.
Yeah. Okay, speaking of mountains, what was the most spectacular thing that you saw on this trip, or like what did you expect to see that all of a sudden you saw it and you were like, oh my gosh, that's way better than I ever imagined it would be?
I will have to say, I can't narrow it down to one. I'm going to tell you three things. One was Old Faithful. That was, you see pictures, you watch videos. It was so cool in person. It went off for like 6 minutes. It's not just a spritz and down. It really is pretty incredible. But that was my kind of bucket list that I wanted to see. The second thing, there was a, what do they call it? One of those super moons. Well, we were at the campground. So we were, you know, it's Montana. There's stars everywhere. It's, you know, we were at a place that had no electricity. It's beautiful. And there was this giant super moon directly outside of our tent. So it was gorgeous. I got some actually really cool photos on my phone, which didn't do it justice, but it was absolutely amazing. Just sat there and just watched the sky. It was very cool. So that was number two. And then the third thing was the Grand Teton Mountains. It's a pretty iconic view. You've seen it probably before, even if you don't know the name. But our lodge backed right onto those mountains. So you walked out of the back of the lodge and you were right there staring at those mountains. It was unbelievable.
Especially for the three of us, right? We all live in major urban areas, right? That's relatively flat. So like the idea of seeing any mountain range and seeing stars, like Stacy, you were just in the UP, you see a lot of stars there, but where we live right now, we don't even know if they exist. Like if the sky is, you know, and same thing down by where you live, Jennifer.
Yeah. So, I mean, I'm below sea level. We don't, right? You know, right. phenomenal. You don't see this stuff. It was incredible.
How about like wildlife? Did you see anything like really unique? Bears, bison, anything like that?
Lots of bison. There's antelope, which I didn't realize there were antelope. We did not get to see any bears, which I was, you know, happy about in one way and sad about in another way. Glad we did not see them at the campsite. And we didn't see any moose. I think it's the wrong time of the year to see a lot of moose, but tons of antelope, tons. We saw deer. The funniest wildlife was, we're at the campground and I'm like, wow, what is that noise? That sounds really familiar. It's sandhill cranes. Oh, we have them in our backyard. I'm like, we drove to the mountains to get woken up by the same sandhill cranes that live in my backyard.
Oh man. When you say bears and family vacation, have you guys ever seen The Great Outdoors, the movie with John Candy? Mm-hmm. Have you guys seen that? Whenever you say bears, I'm always thinking Zagnut, and like, got a Zagnut for you here as he throws it on the bear dump. So I can't get it out of my head.
When you were staying at the campground, did they warn you about wildlife and stuff? So I'm sure that how do the kids react to any of those things?
So they were okay, actually. The hardest thing is they don't let you bring any food or drinks other than water into the tents. So because they're like, there are bears, there are coyotes, there are animals here. You can't, you know, you couldn't bring anything to the tent. They did have a central lobby where they had actual doors on it where they actually had snacks and you could buy food and drinks and things. But it's that was a little, the kids were like, okay. Like,
well, and I know that the animals around, you know, especially around the campgrounds and stuff, they're used to people and they know they know that people will bring the food. And so I'm sure that if they smell, they're like, who's the sucker who has that food? We're going to find them.
Yeah, they were pretty strict. They actually, they had a bucket at the library, at the lobby that they, like, if we had snacks and things, we just had a bag with our name on it. We left it there. They put it in a sealed, locked Tupperware thing outside so that the animals couldn't get to it, and they gave it back to you. But yeah, they were very, it's very clear on their website. They're like, there is no food allowed in any of the camp, in any of the cabins or tents. And we had wood burning stoves. It was crazy.
Oh,
it
that's fun.
Yeah. It was beautiful, but it was an interesting place to stay.
Yeah.
And no Wi-Fi, which is what my kids complained about.
Holy cow. Wow. You were in the middle of God's country with no Wi-Fi. Right?
We told them this when we booked the trip. And
that's what they were probably the most upset about.
They were the most upset that we spent two nights at a campsite with no Wi-Fi.
Let me bring it back to the food for one second. How do they handle snacks? Like in between activities and stuff? Did they have like a box for you to pick from, or like, were they prepackaged, or how did that work?
Oh yeah, that's actually a good question, because and was something I was going to bring up. They had so many snacks. So basically, we had a bus that it was our bus for the week. Same bus driver. He drove from Bozeman and took us all the way to Jackson. Spent the whole week with us, and basically, anytime you got on the bus, there was a giant box of snacks. There were cookies. There were Doritos and chips, and basically, you know, trail mix, anything you could think of, they pretty much had in a box. And you just got up when you're in the bus, you grab some snacks, grab some waters. That was it. They fed us constantly. It was not an issue.
Well, you're exerting so much energy. They have to replenish that.
Absolutely.
Right. So here's something I've wondered about, just based on the time that we're living in. Was there any COVID restrictions on the tour? Or like, was there a protocol before you went on this? Did you have to test negative before you were there, or how did that work?
Everyone had to be vaccinated for this trip.
Okay.
And I can't remember if it was like that when we booked it, because when we booked it, the kids weren't able to be vaccinated at the time because it hadn't been approved. But when we got closer to the trip, they mentioned everyone had to be vaccinated. We did not have to test. So not, you know, unlike going on a cruise where you had to test beforehand, we did not have to test. We did have to upload our vaccine cards to a website, like a third party website that they verified ahead of time. And that was really it. They recommended, you know, they recommended that you could wear a mask on the bus if you, you know, if you wanted to. There were one of the campground, the in the Grand Tetons, the lodge, the Jackson Lake Lodge, had signs up one day requiring people to have masks on. And then the next day the signs were gone. And then the next day after that, the sign was back up. So they couldn't quite make up their mind. But it was basically up to where you're going. And pretty much in Montana and Wyoming, there's no, you know, no mask mandates or anything like that. So that was not really, I mean, we really didn't have any issues at all with that.
And considering we all spend times at the Disney parks and the massive crowd there, in comparison where you're at here, I mean, you're looking at a crowd of 30 as opposed to 30,000, you know, it must feel like, oh, well.
And everything's outside. Here at this point. I mean, you're doing all your activities are outdoors. So there was no point where I felt overcrowded. I mean, it's a big country. It's a big state. The park is gigantic. So that was nice. It was nice to be away from Disney crowds for a bit. So,
speaking for your kid and your husband, your kids and your husband,
our husbands, wow.
Husbands, you're plural.
We were out. Plural. Never mind. I was going to make a comment, but I probably shouldn't have.
Plural. No, you're not in Utah. So anyways,
there is a big Mormon, area of, in the Grand Tetons National Park. But
interesting.
But yeah.
Tell me their favorite moment of that week. And then tell me what was the thing that they were like, we weren't crazy about this. Because I'm sure it's in your mind of their favorite moment, their favorite, like, we need to improve this.
My daughter was in love with the horses. So we went horseback riding. That was her absolute favorite thing. Absolute favorite thing. She wasn't as enamored with the hiking, but just because it's she's like, this is kind of boring. Like, it's pretty, look around you. But she loved the horses. My son absolutely loved the whitewater rafting. That was his favorite. I was actually surprised that was his favorite thing. Cause he's not exactly like an adrenaline junkie kind of a kid. So he loved it. He said fishing was his least favorite, but I think just because he didn't catch anything.
Well, that's hard too. You gotta be patient and whatnot. And if you're not, you know, that's tough.
Yeah. And the rest of us caught fish. So he was a little left out. So I think that's part of it. So, he didn't like the fishing. He'll tell you he didn't like the fishing.
What about your husband?
I think Rick was just happy that he didn't get a single phone call the entire time we were
gone. Oh, that's precious. Yeah.
So, that, and he kind of liked all of it. He enjoyed the campground. He liked the fact that we were kind of out in nature. He liked the hiking. He didn't say anything in particular that he thought was the most amazing thing, but I think he just enjoyed the fact that he didn't have to plan anything. His work left him alone for a week. We were out of cell range for a while, so they couldn't even call him if they wanted to. So I think that was the best part of the trip for him.
And I know he's a little bit more of a introverted type of a guy. Was he apprehensive about going into a group tour type of a trip, or was he open to it?
He was open to it. I think for something like this, he kind of appreciated the fact that there would be distractions for the kids.
Yeah.
More than anything. And he's actually, once he kind of opens up, I mean, you've met him. He's actually a pretty funny guy once you kind of get him going. So he actually had a really good time.
That's good. Yeah. Cause I know that sometimes for people that could be intimidating to be, you know, you don't know what it's going to be like, but the way you described it, it really sounds like if you can get the best of both worlds. Like if you wanted to interact with others, you can. If you don't, if you want to just kind of stick with your family, you can. So yes. Yeah, that's.
We did have dinners on, you know, alone. Like I mentioned, we had and some breakfast where we just went to the restaurant in the lodge, mm-hmm. and just on our own for breakfast and on our own for dinner. So we didn't, even though it was covered by the trip, we weren't necessarily always eating as a group.
All together.
As a group, yeah. What about your favorite? What about your favorite and your thing that you thought could be improved?
My favorite, like I said, I loved Yellowstone. I thought that was the most amazing thing. We didn't quite get to do the itinerary we had planned because of the flooding mm-hmm. in Yellowstone. I don't know if you heard about that. They had
floods. No. Yeah, mention that because you mentioned that and I was like, yeah, I did. No, I really didn't.
maybe it was just on my radar because I knew we were going. They actually closed the entire park for about 2 or 3 weeks. Okay. And that was about 2 or 3 weeks before our trip. So we were freaking out a little bit.
Yeah.
There was massive flooding. The north end of the park, the roads that go, like the bridges that go over the rivers, were washed away.
Oh, wow.
So, yes, it was a mess. They said it's been, you know, it was like the storm of the century kind of thing when you talk to the people who work there. I think the north end of the park is the entrances are still not open. So that's where we were supposed to come through.
Okay.
So we came, you know, we were north. And so we were supposed to drive down to the northern entrance and see, I think it's Mammoth Hot Springs is up that way. And that was one of the areas we were supposed to see. But we had to go to the west entrance, which means we ended up driving a little bit more. So we weren't able to go around and back up north to see that part of the park. But they added in something else for us to do and, you know, instead, which was the zip lining and the hiking that we did, which wasn't initially on the itinerary, but they changed it around. So there was a little more driving than we were supposed to do. And so, you know, obviously I wish that were slightly different, but obviously out of our control. And if you hadn't known that they switched it around, it actually, everything was smooth. And as far as where they took you and how they changed it, it actually worked out very well.
Okay.
But yeah, so it was a little scary thinking we weren't going to be able to go to Yellowstone at all.
Yeah.
We spent 2 whole days there.
So I need your wisdom here because you say park is closed. I know Yellowstone is a massive, massive property, like bigger than some of the smaller states, it seems like, you know, on the map, if you look at actually the land it encompasses. When you say the park was closed, is the tourist part, then the navigable part, is that a smaller version of it? Or because, I mean, we're talking huge real estate, you know.
They closed every entrance, I believe. I'm not sure if they closed the very southern end of the park, but there are like 6 different entrances and they weren't letting people in. They were evacuating people out. I mean, it was crazy.
Wow.
When they first started opening back up, they had some sort of system where they were letting, based on your license plate of your car, they were letting like even numbers in one day and odd numbers in because they just couldn't handle the volume.
Oh, that makes sense.
You know, because there's a few areas that are very popular. And when half of that is closed, they were struggling to kind of keep up with the volume. So,
okay.
Yeah.
So was this your first Adventures by Disney, like, tour?
Yes.
This one? Okay. Mm-hmm. So I'm almost imagining this as like taking a cruise, but it's on land because it offers you the same thing, right? Your meals are already planned for you. You just got to go and you get snacks whenever you want. Your itinerary is set for you. You have someone there as a tour director kind of guiding you around, but you're not on the ocean. It seems pretty equatable to be a very similar thing, right?
Yes, it kind of felt that way. And the only difference between being on a cruise is there's, you know, you can have as much downtime as you want on a cruise. And for this, there was not much downtime.
Ah, good point. Good point. All right. So where is this next one you're going to? You said you already put a deposit down on the next
one? We did. We're going to Europe next summer.
Oh, nice. My gosh.
Describe. Tell us where.
So the We actually had a couple of options. We let the kids choose. So there was the one we ended up doing is one that goes to London and then to Paris.
Oh my gosh.
You spend 3 days in London, seeing the sights, doing some tours, and then you take the train to Paris. So going through the tunnel, which my kids crack up at the word tunnel. So go through the tunnel to Paris and spend, I think it's 4 days in Paris. And then we decided since we're right there, we're going to spend a couple of days at Disneyland while we're there.
Nice. Is that part of that's not part of Adventures by Disney?
It's extra, but it's a package you can still do through Adventures by Disney.
That would make sense, I think, to add that on.
However, they haven't quite got those packages out. So Nancy's been making phone calls and she said, you know, even if we can't do it as through Adventures by Disney, do it through Disneyland Paris and they can talk to each other and hook you up between getting from point A to point B. So
can we book you now for next year to come on and do a report after that? Because like I am very much looking forward to hearing about that trip as well. So
a couple of things I wanted to mention. The I mean, obviously they have trips, you know, all around the world. Since our tour guide told us that this was the most rugged, I asked him which was the least rugged. And he said it was probably the trip to China.
Okay. That's interesting.
Which I thought was interesting, but he said basically it's 5-star hotels everywhere you are in the cities you go to in China. And it's like something like 12 or 13 days. It's long.
That's so cool.
Yeah. So, and we,
this is totally the way to do things. Cause I mean, just thinking about going to Europe, like myself with Scott not flying, I just would have no idea. I mean, even going to Dollywood where we just were, like the stress of figuring out, okay, I can go online and look up things, must do things. And there's 7 million things. How many of these things are really must do? This takes everything away. Like the thought of going to London and Paris, I'd be like, I wouldn't even know where to start, but they're handpicking these things for you. That's pretty special.
I think if it were just me and Rick, we could probably figure things out enough on our own. But when you're dragging the kids along, and for me, it's knowing how much time things take. Like, you know, you know, where you're going on a hike. Okay, well, are we going the right way? Are we
exactly
lost in the woods? How long does this take? And if you overestimate, then you're rushing to get where you need to go. If you underestimate, then I've got all this downtime with my kids who are not happy to just be hanging out in the woods. It was really nice having things scheduled where they know exactly where you need to be at every point and you don't have to worry about it.
Chiming in on both of you guys here for this upcoming trip, Stacey, I can't agree with you more. And Jennifer, you're so right. Even in London and Paris, you have to buy timed entries to every museum and every attraction. And, you know, obviously it's how far are they apart? Am I taking an Uber, a taxi? It's complicated. Like, when are you going to go see the Eiffel Tower? I don't know. Well, you better buy tickets like 40 days in advance. Wait a minute. Do I really need to? And here it's like, come on. We got you covered. We're going to go here at like 9 o'clock in the morning. We got the whole day. It is stressful.
And we're going to get you the VIP entrance.
Yeah.
Probably.
Yeah. Yes. It is super stressful. So, and that comes from me. And I was into planning that trip, which is not my attitude, but like, this is absolutely the way to go for something like that. Mm-hmm. So super jealous, you know, of your next trip. So,
and I mean, and obviously there are a lot of tour companies to choose from. You know, we chose Disney because obviously we are familiar with Disney as a whole and know that they're not going to put out an inferior product. I mean, if they're doing these trips, it's, I gotta imagine they're used to dealing with families and all ages and know how to make it all work. There are definitely, and we did price some others, but they didn't, there are ones that are less expensive, but they don't necessarily include every meal. They don't necessarily include the tips. They don't, you know, necessarily include every excursion. And I just didn't want to have to think about it.
So mention again, please, your travel agent again one more time, because finding Nancy, a travel agent experience in this is hard. So
sure. Nancy Turner, who is with the Magic for Less travel agency. She was amazing. Okay. She helped me out every step of the way.
If anybody has questions for you, how can they get a hold of you?
I guess email, text. I don't know. What do you guys, or Facebook Messenger? I can.
Yeah. Yeah, no problem. So contact me through Facebook Messenger, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Or you can contact Chris or I, and we can get you in contact with Jen as well.
So yeah, I'm on Facebook. I have Messenger. You guys can contact me there.
And Nancy Turner, Jen's travel agent, is also part of the Edcot group. So if anybody wanted to contact her, you can go into Edcot and find her there as well.
Yes.
So thank you so much, Jen. This was an amazing show. I love Adventures by Disney's podcast. Like, those are like my favorite podcasts, and it's so fun to actually do one. And we have one booked for next year now too. So that's really great as well. We already have a show for next year, Chris. Like, we check that off.
I wrote it down 1 year from today. I wrote down Yes. 1 year from today. What is the date of that trip, Jen? What do you think of that trip? Just so I know.
We come back July 12th.
Perfect. Nice. Perfect. Done. We have a late July show already planned. That's great. One less thing to do. But thank you so much, Jen. We really appreciate you being here and chatting with us today. Be sure, if you have any questions, reach out. You can come to Edcot, which is our private Facebook group, family friendly. So please seek us out and join us. Otherwise, for Chris and for Jen and myself, thank you so, so much for listening today. And we will see you all soon.
Bye, everybody.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.